sad, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurting me when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" I heard the old accuser,
my stain and sinful past and put new life within. No longer do I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say,
it's under the blood.
Number 11. Tonight, as you can tell from our table being prepared for communion, I want to talk to you about the Lord's table. The Lord's table. You have your Bible open, and I appreciate Corey's reading of the scripture to you, of the account that Paul gave to the church at Corinth as he looked back and gave his explanation of the Lord's table. There's three things that I'll mention by way of introduction about this section of scripture, and that is in verse number 23, Paul did begin to give an explanation of the Lord's table. And this is what he gave in his explanation. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." This seemed to be a pattern of the Apostle Paul. If you'll remember in 1 Corinthians 15 this morning in our scripture reading, Paul said somewhat of the same thing. He said, "I gave it to you as I received it." And I don't know if there's any better way to preach God's word. God gives it to man, and man gives it to others. And he said, "I gave you, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And he begins to lay out, as God revealed to Paul, what happened on that fateful night of the first Lord's table. So he gives an explanation. And then if you look down and verse number 24, you'll see an exaltation. Jesus said in the latter part of verse number 24, "This do in remembrance of me." You know, the Lord's table is not about the church. It's not about the church family. It's not about religion or denomination. It's about one person. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Of me. And because of that, it's about exaltation. We are to exalt the Lord during this time. We're to remember what He done for us. We're to remember not only what He done for us, but as we look in verse 26, we are to remember what He's doing for us, because in that word "until," well, there's a lot to be said. Jesus has a ministry right now, and it's a high priestly ministry. Our Lord Jesus is in heaven right now making intercession for you and I who are believers. It's His high priestly ministry. And one day, that ministry is going to cease. And Jesus is going to get up from that seat, and He's going to come at the bidding of the Father to receive His bride. And He's going to, as verse number 26 says, He's going to come and He's going to receive us unto Himself. So we see explanation, we see exaltation. And then if you'll look in verse number 29, there's been a lot of misunderstanding. And I'll talk more about this in just a moment, but this is examination. Paul said this. He said in verse number 28, he said, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." He said in verse number 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily." Now, there's been a lot of people that say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to partake of the Lord's table because I'm this or I'm that, or I'm not worthy to partake of the Lord's table." Well, first of all, none of us are worthy to partake. Notice what Paul said here. He said, "unworthily," which is in an unworthy manner. It's in a flippant, careless manner. And he goes on to explain that by saying that, excuse me, when you come to the table, you ought to judge yourself. In verse number 31, he said, "For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And so we don't want to flippantly just live in any way and then come to the Lord's table with dirty hands, so to speak, a dirty heart, and begin to partake of the Lord's table in a manner that would be disrespectful for what Christ has saved us for and to be. And so here's three things that you need to know about this. And now I'm going to take this and I'm going to break it down. And I want to talk to you about the Lord's table, and then we're going to partake of the Lord's table tonight. The first word, I want you to write down some words in your Bible. And we're just going to go in section by section and talk about these words. The first word that I have written in my Bible is the word of commemoration. This is a time of commemoration. Now, what is commemoration? What does it mean? Well, commemoration means memorial. It's a celebration. It's a time of reflection. It's a time when we look back and we remember what's been done for us. And this is what the Scripture says. If you'll look in verse number 24, it says, "When He," meaning Jesus, "had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me.'" He said the same in verse number 25, "After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me.'" And so it's a time of commemoration. It's a time when we reflect and we remember what Christ has done for us. I don't know that there's any other time in all of church service, whether it's during singing, whether it's during the preaching of God's Word, whether it's in Sunday school and teaching, that we should be more focused on what Christ has done for us than at the Lord's table. It's a time when we need to get honed in and we need to remember. Jesus said, look at it again, "This do in remembrance of Me." In other words, I need you to be focused on Me. I need you to shut out everything from the world, everything in your life, and take this moment and think about what I have done for you. Brethren, I fear that we don't do that enough. I fear that we do not think enough of what Christ has done for us, what it really cost in order that we might have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to the Lord's table, We ought to dismiss every care of the world. We ought to set aside everything. We ought not be thinking about our week to come. And listen, I realize there are folks who are sitting here tonight and you've got all kinds of things planned. Maybe they'll start right after the service tonight. And I'm looking forward to sharing and I. We're going to get away a little bit next week. And I'm looking forward to that. But you know what? In this hour, I want to focus on what Jesus has done for me. I want to commemorate. I want to look back. I want to, in a memorial, I want to remember. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Now, I've had some people to help me along the way. And I'm very grateful for those people. I've had people that have assisted me and have helped me and have come to my aid. And I'm very grateful for them. But in this hour, brethren, I want to say that I am so thankful for what Jesus has done for me. I am so grateful for what Jesus Christ was willing to do. And I don't ever want to get too far from the cross. And I'm speaking in terms of metaphors, okay? And metaphorically, I don't want to get too far away from the cross. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to deepen my knowledge of Him. But I don't ever want to forget what happened at Calvary and what He was willing to do in order that I might be free from my sin. He took my sin on His body there on the tree. He suffered. And He bled and He died that I might stand before you and say that I am one of His own. And listen, we all ought to remember that. So He said, when you do this now, do it in remembrance of me. It's a commemoration. Do it in remembrance of me. Notice what He said here in verse number 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat. Watch what He called it here. The Lord's Supper. It's His supper. It's not our supper. It's His supper. We're guests at His table. With guests, we should show respect. As guests, we should show honor. There's just things as guests we ought to show. And so when Paul wrote here, he said, I want you to realize when you come to this table, this is the Lord's table. Jesus set this table. All right? And so it's very important to remember that. Number two, not only is there commemoration, but it's a time of appreciation. The Scripture says in verse number 24, and when He had given thanks, just a few moments, we're going to partake of the Lord's table. And we'll have individuals that will give thanks. And when they bow their head to give thanks, every person in this building ought to bow your head and give God thanks. And say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you did for me. Oh, listen, I appreciate people who lead us in prayer. And I follow along with them. But in my heart, I want to be found grateful for what Jesus has done for me. And so not only is it a time of commemoration when we look back in remembrance of what Christ has done for us, but it's a time of appreciation. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be mindful. And mindful people are thankful people. And so it's a time of appreciation when we give thanks for His broken body and His shed blood. Someone has said, when I think about the passion of Christ, it breaks my heart. And then someone else said, it not only breaks your heart, but it's able to save your soul. And I am so thankful that it's able to do that. It's able to save us to the uttermost. Aren't you glad for that? So it's a time of commemoration. It's a time of appreciation. And then in verse number 26, it's a time of proclamation. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's a time where we proclaim. Notice what he said here in verse number 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, as often as you do it. Now, this is an ordinance. If you'll notice back with me at the beginning of this chapter, Paul begins this chapter by praising the church for having the ordinances. Notice what he said in chapter 11 in verse number 1. But be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now, whether Paul had the two ordinances of the local assembly, the local church that we have today in mind or not, I can't dogmatically say. I believe that he did. An ordinance, and I looked this word up, there's two ordinances of a local church. And I want to talk to you about those for just a moment. And Paul, in verse number 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, said, as often, it's things that you carry out. It's an edict. It's a ruling of a church, of a body. It's a ruling of a ruler. It's a law. It's a mandate. It's a directive. And there's two ordinances for the local New Testament church today. And they're both very, very significant and very important. I'm going to ask you to hold your place here for just a moment and turn back to the book of Romans chapter number 6. And we'll begin to talk about the first ordinance. And I'm just going to say a word or two about each of them. In Romans chapter number 6, we find where baptism is one of these two ordinances. Now, baptism shows us union with Christ. Now, oftentimes, the Lord's table is called communion. The Bible calls it the Lord's Supper. Now, at the Lord's Supper, there is communion. Okay? There is communion at the Lord's Supper. Baptism is about union. Now, the difference is in a small word that Paul uses when he's dealing with baptism, and it differentiates when he's talking about the Lord's table. And I want to show you from Romans chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Notice, if you would, in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Apostle Paul begins to talk about baptism, and he says this in verse number 4, therefore, we are buried. Now, you see that next word, with him. This speaks of union. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When a person is saved, they are baptized to give public profession of their faith in Christ. You see, when a person is saved, it's something that is a transaction that takes place in their soul. It's a time when they trust Christ, their spirit is quickened, and they receive, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, the divine nature of God. I've been doing a little study on the nature of animals and living things, and it's very, very interesting of how God created things to with an appetite, and that appetite fits their nature. He talked about pigs going to back to their slop and dogs returning to their vomit. It's their nature to do that. Everything that God has created has a nature, and it's their nature to do that. You know what our nature is? Our nature is to sin. Our nature is to rebel. Our nature is to shake our fists in the face of God and say, I don't need you. That's the nature of man. But according to 2 Peter chapter 1, when we get saved, we receive the divine nature. And that divine nature of God comes and makes its permanent residence in us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, every believer has two natures. Two natures. And these natures, according to Galatians chapter number 5, are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And there's a battle going on in us. You know something about that battle, don't you? When you're saved, there's a battle going on, because there is a divine nature and there's what's called an Adamic, that nature that we got after Adam, and they're battling. Now, when you get saved, the nature of the divine nature is to feed on good, positive, wholesome, godly things. And so you know when you get saved. Amen. I have people ask me all the time, listen, I've been doubting my salvation. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Listen, if you have the divine nature, you'll know it, because that nature is wanting to feed on the things of God. Can I tell you, before I received the divine nature of God, I never had one desire to feed on that which was holy. I never had one desire to feed on the things of God. But when I got saved, God gave me His divine nature. And now I have a desire to feed on the things of God. It's a desire that has been implanted in me by the Holy Spirit of God. So we're, listen, Baptism shows a union. We've been buried. When someone gets up here to get baptized, we put them under the water. And what they are stating publicly is, I believe that Jesus died, but I want to go further than that and say that I died with Him. That's why Paul could say, I'm crucified with Christ. Amen? I died with Him, but I have rose with Him. I believe that Christ rose, but I have rose with Him to walk, what? In the newness of life. I'm going to live a different life now. Why? Because I have union with Jesus Christ. So baptism is about union with. You see that word with. Now if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we have the second of those ordinances, and that is the Lord's table. These are the only two ordinances of the local church. There are those that say, well, there's three, you know, there's foot washing. And I'm not going to debate that. It's not worth time to debate. There's two ordinances of the church. Just like there's two offices of the church, and that's pastor and deacon. And so so some people want to debate and argue. Listen, brethren, what saith the Scriptures? Amen. And so we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and I want you to notice what happens here. Verse number 24, this is the Lord's Supper. And notice the difference. It's not with. There's another word used, and here's what it says. Verse number 24 says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And so that is communion. You see, with is union. And baptism states our union with Christ. We've been buried in baptism with Christ. And we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. That states our union. This states our communion. This states our communion with Christ, because it's something that Christ done for us. And so he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. So there's a time of commemoration. There's a time of appreciation. And then there's a time of proclamation. Brethren, every time we have the Lord's table, it states that we have communion with our Lord. I have a question for you. Are you in communion with the Lord? We've been talking about in our Sunday school the last couple of weeks is sometimes people, and I can't tell you how many people I've said, you know, that church don't work. Church doesn't work. I've tried church. You need to quit trying church and get hooked up with Jesus. Amen. I'm serious now. I can't tell you how many people in my Christian experience have told me, I've tried church, preacher, and church doesn't work. Well, it's worked out for me. It's worked out for me. Let me just say that first of all. And then second of all, let me say, maybe you're not doing it right. You see, we have a tendency not to follow the instructions. Come on, ladies, say amen for your husband. We have a tendency not to follow instructions. And we think, well, I'll do it my way, but I'll expect it to work God's way. That's not the way this thing works. See, God has laid out some precepts and some statutes and some principles, and God expects us to do them His way. You want it to work for you? Do it God's way. Do it God's way. It'll work for you. And so here, He said, I want you to, I'm making a proclamation. And the proclamation is this, that as oft as you do this, look at what He said in verse 26, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup. That didn't say how oft, it just said we ought to do it often. And every time we come together, we ought to be reminded of what Christ has done for us, and that ought to cause us an appreciation to be thankful and to have that close communion with the Lord. All right? Now, let's look at a couple of more words and then we'll partake of the table. I want to talk about examination. Look, if you would, in verse number 27. So we've talked about commemoration, appreciation, a proclamation. And now let's talk about examination. What is it to examine yourself? What does that mean? When the Bible says in verse number 28, it says, but let a man examine himself. You know, a lot of people during a time like that will begin to think about what's wrong with someone else. You know, I wonder if old so-and-so ought to take of the table. See, I need to be concerned about if I should take of the table. During this time, there's two people that need to come to my mind first and foremost, and I'm going to show you in just a moment, that's not the only ones, but first and foremost, I should be thinking about Christ. And then secondly, I need to be thinking about me. Am I at a place to where I can partake of this table in a way that is worthy of what God has done for me, in a way that would not bring reproach, in a way that would not be careless in my partaking of this table? And so he says here in verse number 28, he said, but let a man examine himself, and let him, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if he that eateth and drinketh, I mean verse 29, unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This is not something we do flippantly. This is why I encourage you as a parent to have your children sitting next to you during communion time and during the Lord's table, and instruct them of what's going on during this time. If your child is not saved, I highly recommend that they do not partake of the Lord's table. If your child has never repented of their sin and trust Christ as their Savior, I would use this opportunity to let them know why they are not to partake of the Lord's table. A child should not partake of the Lord's table no more than you would allow a child to get up there and be baptized if they've never made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. It's a great opportunity to explain to your children why they are barred from taking, because they do not understand that this was done for them and they have applied it to their lives. So I encourage you, parents, have your children sitting next to you and explain to them what's going on during communion service, during the Lord's Supper. So he said here, when you examine yourself, he said, make sure that you do so with a clean heart. Make sure that you do so in verse number 30. Because if you don't, he said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's how dangerous this is. This is serious business. You say, well, preacher, I'm just going to live any way I want, come to church, partake of the Lord's table, and then let things happen as they may. Well, I think that's very careless, and I think that it's very serious. And I would be cautious. I would be very cautious to know that I was walking with God and that I had clean hands and a clean heart when I pulled up to this table tonight. That's why we always give people opportunity. You know, this old world has a way of dirtying our feet, doesn't it? It does. This old world has a way of dirtying our feet. This old world has a way of tainting us. It's good just to have that season of time where we just reflect and we ask God to cleanse us and to help us. It's kind of like when you come up to the table. Mama always said, wash your hands before you come to the table. And brethren, what Jesus said is, wash your heart. Make sure now that there's nothing between you and the Master. You say, well, I won't take. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing for the host, the Lord, to call you as a guest to the table and you be so in love with your sin that you wouldn't be willing to confess it and get it right, that you denied and rejected that invitation? Don't think that's a way to get around not partaking of the table by just saying, well, I won't take. Well, you know, I encourage you, instead of just holding on to your sin and not taking, why don't you confess it unto the Lord? He'll cleanse you. God will forgive you. Amen. If we're faithful, listen, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right. Then finally, it's a time of consideration. All right? I want you to notice what it says. I said earlier, when we come to the table, we should be thinking about the Lord and we should be thinking about ourselves. But there's a comment that Paul made that stuck out to me, and I want to bring it to your attention. In verse number 33, by the way, I'm very appreciative of verse 31 and 32 where Paul said, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now don't think what I'll do is I'll keep skirting around the Lord's table and get by with my sin. Don't make God judge you now. See, judge yourself. Judge yourself. Because if you don't, God's chastisement is going to come to you. All right? God doesn't trifle with sin. He expects us as His children to confess our sin. He expects us to ask forgiveness and to get cleansing. And so I pray that each one of us would understand the soberness of this and ask God's forgiveness. Verse number 33 says this, "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat," look at this next phrase, "tarry one for another." Now just stay with me for a few more minutes, okay? I realize that ham's laying heavy on some of you. It is me. But I want you to listen carefully. What is Paul saying here? He said, when you come together, tarry, wait. You know, when tonight, when we began to administer the Lord's table, you will notice that we will start at a certain place and we will begin to serve the Lord's table. Well, people won't just begin right then. You know, there was a rule of etiquette years ago that you never began eating until the last person was seated at the table. Now, I don't know where all these manners and the etiquette's gone. They just seem like they just flew out the window. There seems to be no one concerned about these things anymore. It just seems to mean nothing to people. But brethren, I'm telling you, those old-time mannerisms and etiquette, they mean something. I think that we need to get back to that. We're losing our respect. We're losing our reverence for things in our country. And we're not teaching our children to reverence and respect the way God expects us to have reverence and respect for things. And so when we're serving the table tonight, we're going to hold and we're going to wait till every person receives, and then we're going to partake together. But I think there's a deeper thought in this. Look at it one more time in verse 33. He said, "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." You know, I see a thought in there of consideration for people around you. You know, as a body tonight, Paul's writing to a church. Tonight, as you partake of the table, I want you to think about the person sitting beside you, behind you, in front of you, sitting around you. Think about the folks at Fellowship Baptist Church that make up this local assembly that God in His grace has saved. Think about, we're brethren. Amen, we're a family. And family means something. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to care for one another. And I believe this is what Paul was teaching here. He actually rebukes, and I won't go into it, but if you were to look back in verse number 17, he said, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." And he begins to rebuke them for their mishandling of the Lord's table and for not considering one another and for having a wrong attitude and for being cliquish and liking some in the church and not liking others. He said, that ought not to be. You know, Corinth had a problem with that, didn't they? You remember some said, "Well, I'm of Paul," and others said, "Well, I'm of Apollos," and "I'm of Cephas," "Well, I'm of Christ." They had problems with schisms and divisions. And Paul said, "Hey, when you come together, you wait for one another. You care about one another. You ought to be concerned one for another." And brethren, we should. Can I encourage you to do something? Get to know your church family. Talk with folks. Learn what it is to pray. Sometimes we are such people of habit that we talk to the same people, we sit in the same place, we almost say the same things. Mix it up. Go to someone that maybe sits on the other, complete opposite side or from the front to the back. Just try to get to know all of the family at Fellowship Baptist. Consider. Tonight as we partake of the table, remember, we're a family. Not just you and your friends, but you and I and the body of Fellowship Baptist Church. Amen. I don't know what's going on with this thing. Let's go right here for just, you know. I'm not a violent person, but better take that thing off before I'm tempted to be. So here's some instruction about the Lord's table. It's a wonderful time, and we're going to celebrate it tonight. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table. Tonight, as you partake of the Lord's table, I pray that your focus would be on Jesus Christ.
I pray that God would make it vivid in our minds what Christ has done for us. And God would make it real in our soul the price that was paid for our redemption. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained the eternal redemption for us. Bless his holy name. I'm going to ask the pianist to come, and I'm going to ask those who will be serving the table to come. While the men are finding their way to their places, I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me, and we're going to have a time of examination, a time where we will examine our hearts together.